democracynow.org. So please stay seated. Daryl Cherney, producer of the new documentary, Who Bombed Jerry Barry, which is airing today in Los Angeles. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Bob Longman with your WUSB concert billboard for Wednesday, March 28th. First Aid Kit will be at the Webster Hall in Manhattan, the Grand Ballroom, at 8 p.m. Your concert billboard for Thursday, March 29th. Shelby Lynn will be at the Fairfield Theater, Stage 1, Fairfield, Connecticut, at 7:30. Your WUSB concert billboard for Friday, March 30th. Of Montreal will be at the Webster Hall Grand Ballroom in Manhattan at 6 p.m. Joe Mulligan will be at the Brokerage Comedy Club in Belmore, New York, at 8 p.m. And Rick Braun and Richard Elliott will be playing sax at 8 p.m. at the Paramount in Huntington. And a quick look at Saturday, March 31st, Jimmy Webb will be at the Bolton Center in Bayshore, New York, and that's at 8 p.m.
This has been today's Concert Billboard. Tune in each day to hear where your favorites are playing, or maybe try something different. The online Concert Billboard at WUSB.FM has schedules for months ahead, so you can know what to look forward to. And look for WUSB Concert Billboard group on Facebook for any last-minute shows. The WUSB Concert Billboard is a service of WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM. Please give generously to WUSB, either at WUSB.FM online or by calling 631-632-6901. Thank you for your support.
And this is WUSB Stony Brook. The time is 2 minutes after 6 o'clock. Time for Off the Wall. Thank you. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. And this week it's going to be a bit difficult. It's going to be a rather somber program tonight because we're mourning the loss of a friend here at WUSB, our own Jerry Reamer, who many of us have known for decades, passed away last week. And while I'd like to spend this hour talking about all the events of the world, from Trayvon Martin to Stand Your Ground to health insurance to slaughters in Afghanistan and Occupy Wall Street and all kinds of things like that, sometimes the things that are close by matter more. And I think this is one of those times, because for those of you who knew Jerry, I think it's important to be able to remember and to think and to process. And for those of you who didn't know her, well, I think it would be a great opportunity to learn something, learn what she was about, learn how she influenced us here at the radio station and how we're moving forward. And of course, all of this comes in the middle of our spring fundraiser, which makes it all the more difficult. So we have all kinds of things to focus on, including some clips from the past, a lot of music, and quite a bit of talk. We'll have some people in here in just a moment. But you know what? I'd like to start by playing Jerry's theme. Jerry was a programmer who was on Saturday mornings, alternate Saturday mornings, during a Celtic music program. She also did traditional folk music on Monday evenings occasionally over the years. But if you listened on Saturday mornings between 11 and 12 a.m., maybe not so much recently, but certainly in the past, her program would have begun with this music.
Your cares may be. To live is a privilege, life is opportunity. Have joy and peace and dwell in unity. Though you may be blind, remember God is kind. No matter what your cares may be. Oh, living is good, thank God, life is sweet. No matter what your cares may be. I know living is good, thank God, life is sweet. No matter what your care may be. Oh, living is good, thank God, life is sweet. No matter what your cares may be. Oh, living is good, thank God, life is sweet. No matter what your cares may be. To live is a privilege, life is opportunity. Have joy and peace, dwell in unity. Need to feel ashamed, cause God is the same. No matter what your cares may be. I know living is good, thank God, life. No matter what your cares may be, I know
living is good, thank God, life is sweet. No matter what your cares may be. All right, and that was Jerry Reamer's intro on Saturday mornings. If you listened, you would have heard that music at 11 o'clock in the morning. I'd never heard that music because I was never up at that hour. But interestingly enough, I was up this Saturday at about that time, and I happened to hear our own Mary Ann Devine call in and share some memories. I think it was very significant. I just happened to be up at that time to hear memories of Jerry, who, as I mentioned, passed away last week, just a week ago tomorrow. Long-time programmer here at WUSB. I believe she arrived in the station back in 1983. And incredible personality, very positive, optimistic, cheerful person, very caring. And it's just going to be a much sadder place without her here. Joined right now by Finn and by Chris Laporta. Finn, of course, you come on after this program, and Chris, you're on Thursday evenings.
That would be me.
Okay. And you know what? The noise of the fan is so loud, we're going to have to turn that fan off.
You have that hammer, Eric? Take care of
it? It really is ridiculous. So it's like 85 degrees in here, and we have to... Okay, so we're gonna sweat a little bit.
Well, we like to work up a good sweat while doing radio anyway. That's what you're meant to do.
Yes, exactly.
That's why we have to raise money.
Now, yeah, well... right now there's nobody in the tally room because you're all in here, but if the phone does ring,
we'll be gone.
One of you will just have to go, because that will get more than one phone call at once. Yeah, I'm the optimist tonight, aren't I? So
always are.
We were talking about Jerry while the music was playing, and who would like to tell us something about the song we just heard? That was the intro for the Celtic program, but it wasn't really a Celtic song.
It was actually the intro for her segment, which was usually on what time? 9 o'clock started.
I believe, yeah, 9 to 11.
Yeah, okay, so she was on.
Emmanuel's never heard it.
Yeah, well, If I'm not up at 11 o'clock, believe me, I'm not up at 9 o'clock, unless I'm still up.
And that actually preceded the Celtic program, which was Clannagh. So the Freeform program, which Jerry hosted, was from 9 to 11, and that was the intro theme for that.
Okay, all right. I think I've got it now. But it was alternate weeks because Marianne did the show too. Sometimes
that's correct.
All
yeah.
Right. All right. Well, anyway, that was the music, and I'm sure people would have recognized it if they listened to that program. And also, she did the traditional music program as well.
The traditional folk show.
Yeah.
Which varied on different nights. Sometimes it was on Sundays, sometimes on Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
But a great, great show that she alternated towards the recently with Rusty.
Yes, that's right. It was actually more so Monday, right, for a long time, and actually had gone to Sunday and then recently came back to Monday. And Jerry, I was just speaking to Rusty yesterday, and he said that she was the one that told him, and she was very pleased about that. She was happy it came home.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Do you guys remember when you first met her?
That's a good question. Actually, I would have to default on that one because I don't remember one specific time. Finn, you?
Well, I have to tell you, before I met her, and this is why all of us here are listeners first, I believe, I spent most of my Saturday soundtrack generally began with either Marianne's or Jerry's Freeform show, and then right into Clannagh and right into Lister's program. So I probably, the first female voices I heard in the morning were probably either Marianne or Jerry, much more often than any women I've ever been married to.
Dude, man, you're going to get a beating when you go home.
He lives outside the listening area.
That's right.
So I don't think that's going
to
be a problem.
But when I got a chance to meet her, and I think the first time I met her was at a festival that we had a WUSB table at. And I wasn't even with the station at the time. I came up to the table and got to meet both Marianne and Jerry. And, and I think the great thing about Jerry was she was exactly... in person,
mm-hmm.
as she seemed to be on the radio.
Yeah, I know it's something that we do when someone passes, that where we put them up on a pedestal and we say all kinds of amazing things about them and we overlook the flaws. But honestly, Jerry's personality was such that I don't recall any flaws. I recall her always being friendly, supportive, filled with stories. And this is the thing, when she did a radio program, and I did listen to her radio programs on occasion, the tail end of the Saturday morning or on the Monday evenings, she would have something to say about the music she was playing or just about life in general. She would tell stories. It wasn't the kind of thing, and I know I'll get some heat for this, but I don't like the radio style where people just play music, announce what they played, play more music, announce what they played, repeat, and rinse. I don't like that. I like radio to be where people communicate with the audience and tell stories and go on the microphone for a while, because it's not just a music box. It's a lot more than that. Mm-hmm. And with Jerry, I got the sense that there was so much more to it than just the music. She brought you into the world of the music she was playing and into her life. and you just left feeling like, wow, I've been visiting with her for this amount of time. It's a rarity. It's a rare, even a non-commercial radio, that is a rarity. And that's why it's such a precious thing that we're all the poorer for not having now.
It's very true, because that's one thing that I truly can say of all the times that I've visited with Jerry, is mm-hmm. the fact that you received from her, whether it was through her programming or through visiting with her, the depth and breadth of her knowledge and experience. And Jerry was a teacher, and she traveled to many different festivals, many performers. I learned so much, got turned on to so many different performers mm-hmm. And artists. But not just the fact that I'm spinning this song and do you enjoy it or not. It would be so easy to pick up the phone, to speak to her, to ask her about something, and she would be very happy to share that knowledge and that experience with you. And truly, one of my favorite all-time Jerry stories is a real short one. And honestly, I'd be lying if I told you exactly what it was about, but I came in to ask her about one thing in particular. And she started talking and filled in all the blanks for me and everything else, and it was great. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But about 10 minutes later, she stopped, and she just looked at me with that real innocent look and like half smiled and said, "Oh my, you've asked me the time, and I've built you the watch." and I just laughed. It was so perfect. But this is who Jerry was. She was a person who was more than happy to share with you. She was someone who was always positive. We all have our bad days, but I've never heard her speak an ill word about anyone. And that was just the reality. Always look forward to seeing her whenever I did, whenever mm-hmm. I had a chance.
Yeah, and I can honestly say, in this radio station, you meet hundreds of people. And, there are many times with just about everybody where I didn't want to see them, where it's just, I'm really not in the mood. But with Jerry, no, you're right. That was not the case. Always a pleasant persona. And it wasn't fake either. It wasn't just putting on a plastic smile. It was genuine. It was from the heart. And that just manifested itself in her on-air presence as well as off-air in addition. I like to share a memory, actually. I dug this up from a program that I did back in 1988. It was a fill-in program for Ted Schreiber, actually. I think it was on a Monday evening. And I played music from a film called Zabriskie Point, uh-huh. I'm sure we're all familiar with. And apparently Jerry was even more familiar with it because she called on the phone to add some facts to some things that I was saying. I'm not sure if I knew it was Jerry at the time because I don't refer to her by name. I think I just refer to her as a listener. But it's obvious that it is her. It's her voice. And let's just listen to that particular phone call from this particular radio station back in 1988. Okay, that's the wrong one. I'm sorry. It would be, I burned all these and my burning software put it in the wrong order. I'm going to try and say something while I listened in my headphones for this. I'm sorry.
Well, I have to tell you that not only did we hear her on the radio, but I for years and years lived, Chris, right in this community right here. I lived in Setauket for many, many years, went to Stony Brook University, and I would run into Jerry at places like Emma S. Clark Library, whatever local festival or fair was occurring, street fair, something on a village green. Jerry would be there, and Jerry just had this wonderful style of, like, for example, in the library, I could be, as I was telling you earlier, I could be perusing some books and, you know, involved in, like, looking at the titles of the bindings or whatever the case was. And all of a sudden, someone would say, have you read this? And I'd turn around, you know, and thinking it was a librarian uh-huh. or what have you. And it was Jerry, uh-huh. And she would just talk to you. And I hadn't seen her in maybe 2 months at the time. She would speak to you just as if she just ended the conversation 15 minutes earlier.
Wow.
And ran back into you in the library. Just so friendly and so genuine.
I'm back, and I'm sorry, it was my fault. I just can't count for some reason, but it was track one, not track three. But anyway, let's go back to 1988 and hear this phone call to a fill-in radio program I was doing back then.
The beautiful Tennessee.
Oh, my God. Tennessee Waltz by Patti Page. And
I'll tell you, some of the people on the station had to leave. That's how heart-wrenching that was. It's just sort of sobbing out the window right now. But we found someone. We actually found someone who has seen this film that's a song from, Zabriskie Point, and we have them on the phone now. Person, are you there?
I'm there.
That's incredible. Someone actually has seen this film. Now, how long ago did you see it?
Oh, a long time ago.
Uh-huh. So there's not much of a chance of seeing it going around on late-night TV or something.
There might be, but it's not a very commercial film, so I doubt that you'll see it on television.
What do you remember about Zabriskie Point?
That it was very difficult to understand. All of Antonioni's films are sort of very abstract, and you have to put a lot into it. Mostly what I remember from it is the ending. I can't remember why, and I don't think I knew at the time why, but everything blew up. There's this beautiful home in the desert, this very strange place, and this young man and this young woman, and at the end, everything just starts exploding in billows of different colored smoke.
Oh, that's something. You just don't see films like that anymore.
No, you don't.
I mean, nothing really explodes, you know? Explosions, they say something. I'm not quite sure what, but they say something.
Well, these are the most beautifully orchestrated explosions I've ever seen.
Uh-huh.
Because you weren't getting the full sound. You were just, the music just kept welling up, and the visual was all that you got of the explosion itself.
Music from The Grateful Dead, The Kaleidoscope, The Pink Floyd. You know it's early when they call them The Pink Floyd.
Yes.
The Youngbloods. Do you remember the circumstances of that Patti Page song?
No, I don't. I wish I did. I was just trying to keep from being totally depressed and see if I could remember, but...
Yeah.
I can't.
I mean, I'm trying to picture explosions with that Patti Page song, but somehow I don't think explosions would work there.
No, that came in earlier in the film, but I can't for the life of me remember. I was just trying to get a friend to remember, but then we started getting another Antonioni film called The Passenger, and confused with it because it also took place in the desert, so
uh-huh.
It seems to like deserts.
Well, you know, I think films like this, they should show these films to third grade classes or something and just sort of ask for their interpretation, and then we might understand what it means.
We probably would.
Because we're probably trying to read too much into it, you know?
Well, I saw Aria last night, and there were a whole group of people who had come in because Willow, which was showing in the theater next door, got sold out 5 minutes before Aria began. So these parents were out with their kids, and they didn't want to just go home. So they came into Aria, which was rated X.
Rated X?
Not X, R.
Okay.
And they brought all these little kids in, and it was really interesting because people were reading too much into it. The section Aria is done by 10 different directors, and the part that's done by Jean-Luc Godard had some pretty funny parts in it, but I was the only person laughing because everybody thought that you had to be so respectful because, you know, he's a French director and it must be serious.
Uh-huh.
And I thought he probably had a few good laughs about his part of it, or he wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
But everyone sat there very reverent and glared at me because I dared to laugh.
Well, I think we have to laugh more often. Laugh at the most inopportune moments. Just laugh all the time, I say.
That's good for you. That's what I say, too.
Well, thanks very much for calling and for explaining a little bit of what Zabriskie Point is all about. It's I'm trying to just picture it by the way the album cover looks. It looks like Stars and Stripes, you know, red, white, and blue.
Yeah, there was a lot of that in the advertising for it and stuff, but I really can't remember what it was actually about.
Well, this soundtrack was packaged in 1986, but it also says 1970. Do you know what year the film came out? It was late 60s or something?
Probably closer to 70.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, thanks very much for clearing up a few mysteries anyway.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that was the voice of Jerry Reamer from 1988. Wasn't that precious?
It was great.
What a trip that was.
And that just goes to show that her knowledge was so much more than just music. She was into film, the arts, just everyday culture. And she had such a great sense of humor and an enlightened outlook.
That's one thing in particular you brought out with the films. I know Jerry was a huge fan of when the Staller Center would have its film festival each year.
Yeah.
And she would buy, I think, the pass. and probably catch almost all of the movies. It was just magnificent to run into her on occasion, because I would see some of the films, but not that many. Finn, you're more of a film aficionado, I believe.
Well, I don't know if I'm a fan. I'm a fan. But very often I would have the Stellar Center director on my show, and right afterwards, Jerry would usually call in to say, I'd really like to see that. Oh, that was so great. Or, well, I've heard such wonderful things about that. So, yeah, that's another thing. You know, we talk about being listeners just like you guys are and out there. And that was the great thing about Jerry, just to hear her speak about anything, if she was on the phone, if she was in person, if she was on the radio.
Absolutely. You guys mind if I start up some Celtic music? Because that was Jerry's thing.
I believe it's called for.
All right. All right, so we have Celtic music going in the background right now. Maybe this would be a good time for listeners who are unfamiliar with Celtic music as sort of a tribute to Jerry. Let's turn them on to it. What's so special about Celtic music? I mean, Chris, you do a world music show.
Oh, what's special about it? It's just it's lively. It's just magnificent. There's so much to it. Let me think. I mean, just the diversity, from everything from the Beauron up to the penny whistle. And one of my absolute favorites, which I can share this, I would call Jerry on occasion, and Jerry was always good about playing the Highland pipes for me because she knew I loved them so much.
Now, Celtic music, it's not just Irish music. It could be Scottish music. It could be from all over the region, right?
Actually, right. It's something that I would refer to that both, I believe, Jerry and Marianne would appreciate. I would call them the Celtic Isles because it was all-encompassing. And that's really a big part of it, you know. It's more than just a nationalistic situation, you know. Mm-hmm. And that was a big part of it. But I always found it to be such a great traditional, rich, just encompassing style of music. I've always appreciated it. And I must confess that I would not play a lot of Celtic music on my program because Clannagael on Saturdays from 11 to 12 was a sacred place for me. Mm-hmm. And I would tell people about it, and I would hope they would tune in. And on occasion, I would play some Celtic music because I love it, and the pipes. But that's my take.
It really was incredible on Saturday because, as I said, I was up at a time I'm not usually up, so I was able to hear Marianne talking about memories of Jerry and her final days and all that. But then afterwards, I had driven into the city. I found another radio station. I won't say what radio station because we're not here to advertise other radio stations. But I found another radio station that was playing Celtic music afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And it just was incredible because I just felt Jerry's spirit there. I didn't know this show was on. I just happened to tune around and there it was. And I don't know if you ever feel things like that where someone's presence is just there somehow. And I felt that. I really did.
Sure.
And I hope we continue to feel that because she was such a major part of this radio station and helped bring us to where we are. And we need people like that. We really do.
Yes, it's an absolute great, great loss for us, for the listeners, you know, us as friends and the listeners as friends. Mm-hmm. Because I have to tell you, when I was listening, I always felt like Jerry was my friend. And a lot of warmth has... She's left a lot of warmth behind, but some warmth has definitely left this earth with Jerry. I was on pitching with her one time during Radiothon.
Oh, boy.
And I just stopped in, and she said, hey, would you like to come in and pitch with me, you know? And I came in, and I told her we were discussing, you know, the beauty of Celtic music.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we were talking about was a great quote from Shane McGowan, where Shane is asked, well, what is Irish music? You know, he's like, well, there's two kinds of Irish songs. He said, there's the celebratory song about how wonderful it is to be with women, how wonderful it is to hear great music, how the wonders of drink, the wonders of going out with your friends, the wonders of driving those long roads,
mm-hmm.
the wonderful celebratory moods of happiness and all these things. And then there's the lament, which is about how bad it is to be dead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
how bad it is to be dead or how bad
correct.
It is to be alive. Sometimes sometimes it works both
and
ways.
And so Jerry laughed and laughed and laughed on the air at that one. So that was nice.
Well, that's like kind of the difference between the Highland pipes and the Uilleann pipes, right? The Uilleann pipes are very sad. They're played under the arm.
Right.
It's the extreme lament, which is really quite amazing. And then the Highlands, they'll just blow you right out of the room. They're so amazing.
Wow.
I think one thing that I have to dovetail on what you gentlemen were just sharing is the fact that I know that WUSB truly is a lesser place because Jerry is no longer here. But one thing I can say for myself personally is I know that her spirit will live on in this radio station because of all that she has put into it through the years. But also to each and every one of us, whenever we play a song that she either turned us on to or a band or something that reminds us of her, that will continue to bring a smile onto my face, as it has over the past time when she is no longer with us. And I think that's a great thing. That's a true celebration of a life, and just a testament to the fact of what Jerry has actually, I would consider her a cornerstone of the station. That's just my personal opinion.
I think it's one that's shared with many of us here. I grabbed this album earlier. It's called Irish and Celtic Folk Classics, I'm looking for laments on it. I printed out. there's something like 45 different songs on here.
If there's 45 songs, there has to be a lament there somewhere.
Well, maybe it's written in here somewhere. I'm going to skip to a track called Tears for Ireland Celtic Waltz, because that sounds sort of lamentish.
It certainly does.
I mean, tears. That's so. Let's see.
You might get tripped up by the waltz, though.
Yeah.
it's like it's that.
It's jaunty.
But if you can look through these song titles, tell me if there's any code words for laments in there that we can skip to, because that just that's intriguing to me, and it's something about this place here at WUSB with all the different kinds of music we play, that you'll learn something about this, you'll learn something about that particular type of music, and with someone like Jerry on the radio to explain it, to bring you into the world, you'll really start to like it as well.
Well, one for sure that certainly is on the lamentish side would be Danny Boy. That's a classic Celtic song.
True, but we're not a top 40 station, Chris. We, Danny Boy is heard all the time, everywhere.
Excuse me. I've lost my mind for a second there. Emmanuel, one of the things
Who is this Eric you're talking to?
I thought it was someone that just passed by before I was talking to him. But one thing I can tell you, having been doing a world music special show for a while, There is no such thing as Celtic Top 40. It doesn't exist, man, and that's why I'm so happy doing what I do there. But your point is well taken, Emmanuel.
This song is lament. Let's take a listen and tell me if you think this song is lamenting right now. All right, what's the consensus? Is there lamentation going on there?
I'm getting sadness from the material. Yes.
Yeah,
I'm beginning to weep openly.
It's not a chipper song. That's for certain. Wow, it still hasn't really struck me that she's gone and that we've suffered such an incredible loss. And it's happened before at this station. There are other people that we've lost too. And it's never easy. It's never easy, and that's the way it is with a family. The way this radio station is, and our listeners feel the same way, I'm sure, and we'd certainly like to hear feedback as well from anybody. You can write to this radio show, otw@2600.com, with any comments, I hate to break away even for a moment, but we are in the middle of a fundraiser. And if anyone here, I'm not going to spend a lot of time going over premiums, but if anyone listening right now would like to pledge to the radio station and help keep the voices going for a bit longer, our phone number is 631-632-6901, and we have all kinds of different things to offer, t-shirts and glass mugs and coffee mugs and baseball caps and things like that. That's... in fact, okay, I have to break away from that for a moment to bring back another memory, because it was during a fundraiser, some 22 years ago, actually. It was, the spring of 1990, and Jerry was part of that fundraiser. She was part of all the fundraisers, but a particularly key part of this one. And Finn, I don't know if you've ever heard this story.
No, this is going to be a new story for me, so I can't wait.
Yeah, I alluded to it before the program, and Chris, I believe you do remember the story.
Oh, yes, I've heard this one before.
And there are a number of people on the radio station who might be listening now who probably remember this story, too. This was something that actually was, I believe, Jerry's idea. In fact, well, Jerry is the one who supplied the materials. It was, and this is just another example for a great sense of humor, too. It was a Friday afternoon, Mike Juhas was back in town, and we were doing the second of two Voice of Long Island reunion programs. This one happened in the afternoon. The Voice of Long Island was a program that Mike and I did for a couple of years. It aired Friday nights at midnight. But this particular time, we were on for a special fundraising edition from, I think, 3 to 6 on Friday afternoon. We had all kinds of station staff people around that day. It was a very festive occasion. And for reasons I don't remember, Jerry brought a watermelon into the radio station. And I'm not 100% sure if it was her idea to stage this or how exactly it developed. But somehow, we have a window in the record library that looks out over a part of the campus. And somehow the watermelon wound up on the full watermelon, too, not sliced, a full watermelon wound up on the window ledge, threatening to jump. And it became a thing throughout the entire afternoon. People were calling, people were coming by the radio station. James Lantier, who was a classical music DJ, also was a campus police officer, came by in his car and blew the siren a couple of times and was trying to get the watermelon not to jump. And and the whole thing, the whole program was basically focusing on raising enough money so that the watermelon would not get depressed and jump from the window. We have never put this on. This has not come online yet because we've put just about everything from the archives up, but not this. This is scheduled to come up at some point in the future. And also, somewhere we have video of this, too. And we're going to find that and get that online in addition. But what we have right now is an excerpt from the beginning of this where the watermelon is still on the ledge. And at one point in this two-minute excerpt, Jerry stops in with news of a surprise pledge that came about as a result of these antics. Let's take a listen to Spring of 1990.
On USB FM with the watermelon and watch and a free hot lunch here with a tune called Phenomenon of Love. We need to hear from you at 516-632-6901. They're calling out all sorts of artillery and other such things. Give us a call now, Eric.
Well, people should not bring children to a thing like this. I mean, this is not... I don't know what goes through people's heads. I mean, you have a watermelon on the windowsill threatening to kill itself, and you bring your kids to see something like that? I don't think that's right at all. I just don't think that's right.
The phones have been ringing with lots of support at 516-632-6901.
We want to thank Dave from Hopog who called in. And remind people that with a $35 pledge, you'll get a T-shirt, a WUSB T-shirt. For a $50 pledge, you'll get a WUSB T-shirt, a WUSB coffee mug, and a pair of tickets to see Poor Dog Pondering here at the Stony Brook campus. And we have all kinds of other things, too. We've got tickets to see New Community Cinema. We've got, if someone really is in a good mood right now, and why shouldn't you be in a good mood with the nice spring weather? Don't think about the watermelon. Just think about the weather. A pair of tickets to New Community Cinema for a year, for an entire year, and that's for a pledge of $150. And remember, we do take Visa, we do take MasterCard, but we need your help. We need to build the station up so that we can have a strong signal and we won't get stepped upon by the other stations that wish to do that right now.
Eric, it sounds like the Air Force is out there in full force.
It's getting to be quite a scene, and I don't know how it's going to turn out. We're only on until 5:30, so it may be going on throughout the night. I don't know. 632-6901, area code 516. Do give a call. Support the radio station. And, keep us going.
We need to hear from you now at 516-632-6901. We have all sorts of people outside. I have some people inside here. Jerry Reamer's stepping up to the microphone with an important message.
And a real fruit lover just stepped right up and gave us a cash donation, held it up so the watermelon could see it, and the watermelon seems to have settled back, at least for the moment. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you for dropping by with that cash donation here at the radio station.
Oh boy, and that was a real cash donation too. Someone actually pulled up in that car and handed us cash after hearing about the watermelon exploits.
Was that before or after the sirens, Eric?
I don't know.
And the flyovers.
There were flyovers. There were all kinds of screaming kids, screaming people.
How did you do that?
Not the kids on people, but the screaming entities of all sorts. It was we could do all kinds of things back then. The magic of radio.
Quite tempestuous.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And we do have one more clip from that that will sort of tell you how it all ended. But I just wanted to focus a little bit more on, I guess, maybe the musical aspects. In fact, we have the Celtic music still playing.
Very good.
And this is the song you guys wanted. Okay, Danny Boy, we're playing it, you know, so.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with Danny Boy. It's one of my favorite songs.
Okay, so now, is this a Celtic song, or is this an Irish song, or is there a difference?
Well,
are we going to get Marianne in here to give us a lecture, because... I see Celtic and Irish songs, so that tells me there's a difference.
This would probably be more Irish.
Yeah.
Celtic is kind of like the regional, let's say.
This is pretty damn Irish.
But very often the melodies are Celtic in origin.
And then they
write new lyrics to them, and Danny Boy at one point was a new set of lyrics to an existing tune.
Uh-huh. Right. Now, this is something that we could talk to Jerry about for a long time, but the pronunciation. Some people say Celtic, some people say Celtic. The football team in Scotland is known as Celtic, or no, it's not as Celtic, I'm sorry, but the music is known as Celtic. Pronunciations have changed over the centuries, the Boston Celtics, you know, not
right.
The Celtics, and neither one is considered wrong. I think that's really interesting. I read up on this a little bit.
I personally lean towards Celtic. What about you, Mr. Laporte?
Yes, that's pretty much my camp also.
Uh-huh. Well, it's a controversial issue, but...
It is.
Yeah.
I've heard it's driven some watermelons to the ledge, but maybe not in this case.
Do you guys have any other wacky memories of Jerry Reamer as we're paying tribute to her this hour? Any adventures or acts of mischief? You see more of her mischievous side here with the whole watermelon incident, which really, it seemed like everybody from the radio station was there that day. it certainly was something memorable. But I just recall, like, almost every station event, she would be present in one form or another, a party or
right.
a gathering of one sort or another. And we've had lots of those over the years, listener events. If you're a listener and you came to one of our events, you probably met Jerry
at
some point. And certainly through all the fundraisers and just on-air spectacles that took place.
Yeah, and always a great presence at all of the festivals, et cetera, around Long Island, representing WUSB, always being the warm, open hand to anybody who came up and said, hey, I listened to the station.
Mm-hmm.
And she always got a warm response from everybody, and especially at the folk festivals, you know, and the blues festivals, because all those people, that's all crossover audience. And, they're into the traditional material, and Jerry was knowledgeable and warm and friendly.
Absolutely.
That's how people met her.
We have a picture now up on our website, WUSB.fm. I like to actually read what's posted on here. This has just gone up fairly recently. It is with great sorrow that we share the news that one of our WUSB family, Jerry Reamer, passed away on Wednesday, March 21st, 2012. Jerry was an enthusiastic community staff member for over 25 years and contributed greatly to the fabric of WUSB. She was an on-air programmer on alternate Saturday mornings for over 20 years with a free-form show, followed by Chris, teach me how to pronounce this once and for all. For over 20 years, I've been trying. Clannagale.
That's an easy one, Eric. She could pronounce the true Gaelic, and
so
to me, that's cryptic.
The G, did she, what, could she speak Gaelic?
Clannagale. Yes, I believe she could.
Clannagale. Okay, it's not as intimidating as it looks. Clannagale. Okay. So she had her free-form show followed by Clannagale, as well as one of the rotating hosts for a traditional folk heard predominantly on Monday evenings. Jerry was a gentle and insightful soul who felt deeply about music, storytelling, culture, and shared these passions with her friends and listeners alike. We are all grateful to have known such a person of kindness and grace, and until we meet again, dear Jerry. What's that last word?
Slán.
What does that mean?
Slán. It's peace.
That's Gaelic for peace.
I believe it is.
Slán.
Yeah. Slán.
I didn't know that.
It's peace. Goodwill in general. Yeah.
Sounds like an insult, though, when you say, hey,
it does.
Slán.
Well, I've said it many ways that way.
Wow, okay. So all the times people have said slán to me, it's actually they were saying peace.
I believe that was the closeout, you know, until next time, dear friends, it's slán.
Right.
And that was it. That's along with, like, what, Kira Mila Falcha, which is 100,000 welcomes.
1,000 welcomes.
I remember that. And as a picture, that brings back to mind. There's a promo of her saying that somewhere. That's in my head someplace.
That promo, Eric, is a classic. And I used to ask her to, because it was so insightful, it was such a great promo for the Clannagale show. And you know, the drums beating, the boron, that very, very got your blood going.
Right.
And I always wanted her to make another one because that one was such a classic, but unfortunately it never happened. But it is floating around somewhere. I know I have it on one of my old recorded shows.
I have it too someplace. I will track it down and send it to the staff. The picture is from 2007 on WUSB.FM of Jerry, and brings back so many memories. Well, almost at the end of the hour, we could go on all night basically talking about, and only three people. There are so many people at the radio station that have memories and thoughts and feelings and things like that, and that's just how it is at a place like this. You realize how temporary everything can be in situations like this.
One of the great things, though, Eric, and that leads to, basically tips off from what you were just saying, if you listen to the station now within the past week, so many of the DJs are sharing their personal thoughts, their music. I've been listening all week. Last night I was listening to John O's show, listening to Rusty's show.
Mm-hmm.
It's so great because you're getting a personal remembrance. You're getting personal tributes from the people that served with Jerry right here, mm-hmm. as that learned from her. There are people here that were taught by her as children. As a kindergarten
That's
teacher.
Another thing. She was a kindergarten teacher.
Yes.
Which I think is amazing. You can tell her outlook towards children is very enlightened, and she treats them with respect, not as some overprotective, paranoid person might do today. How lucky you would have been to have her be somebody in your life at that young an age, I think.
Yeah, and I think she showed that patience with all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we acted like children enough.
We needed it.
That's for
good
sure.
Good point. Very good point.
Uh-huh. I'm trying to think of if she mediated any conflicts at this place. Or I know she didn't cause any conflicts, but she certainly could have come in the middle of some and basically worked out some kind of peace deal. But I don't know. Any other stories that come to mind before we close out? I do want to finish the watermelon escapade because we do have a conclusion to that story.
I think you should truly do that. One thing I just wanted to mention is when Radiothon first started,
mm-hmm.
It was a situation that was new to us. We realized suddenly now we have to start raising money, whereas we never had to do that before.
Right.
And there was an enhanced sense of camaraderie back then. And one thing that I always loved is Jerry would always bring it like that next level, and she would come in, she would have baked something, she would bring it a dish or whatever it was. It was like that comforting part, you know, the family part. She always kept that here, and you always could look forward to it no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
You always knew there would be a smiling face on the other end of the line if you were calling in or if you happened to stop into the show. And that's one thing I know will be sorely missed, but will be remembered fondly.
We have Absolutely. Lots of smiling faces. We have lots of friendly people, but they're all unique, individual, precious in one form or another, and they can't be replaced. There will never be somebody to replace Jerry, but she lives on in all of our memories. Let's go back to 1990, a few minutes, maybe an hour or so after the last segment. This is the infamous watermelon incident that Jerry pretty much was responsible for, I think. And this particular segment after, okay, you know, I'll just break it now. The watermelon did jump. Watermelon jumped right out the window.
It wasn't provoked, was it?
Well, there are still some unanswered questions about who was standing next to the watermelon at just the exact moment, Jim Wiener, that came out.
Did I say that out
loud?
You sure it wasn't like a blast from the back burners of the Jets flying by?
Well, you know, there's all kinds of theories out there, conspiracy and other theories. But Jerry played a very big role in the aftermath, and let's let her speak for herself as we try and collect ourselves after the watermelon has plummeted from the second floor window, of our USB complex.
It's not
here.
A long fall; it's a sudden stop.
Yeah, back in 1990. Let's listen.
Well, try as we might, couldn't quite save the watermelon. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. This is the voice of Long Island, Eric Corley and Mike Juhas here for another few more minutes. Eric, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Excuse me, I'm here, yes. It's been an eventful day, I suppose you would say that.
And we do want to thank the people who are calling in with their sympathy. But at this stage, we'd like you to also call in with your pledge. Because only by pledging to WUSB will you ensure that the kind of unpredictable, spontaneous, and sometimes sad programming that comes your way will continue to do so. And just think how sad it would have been had we never known. Had we never known the watermelon before it went off the edge. And if this station weren't here, then we would never have known the watermelon whose name we don't even know. By calling 632-6901, pledging your support to this radio station, you're helping us remember the watermelon the way it was. And I'm sure he or she, whichever it was, would have wanted it that way. Don't you? Jerry is here. Jerry, don't you think so?
Yeah, I think so. I kind of thought of him as Red myself. We never really got on a, you know, introductory basis, but...
Well, it's an awful lot of Red now.
Oh, all God. Over. You know, in the kids that were out there, that's where my heart is right now. They're going to need counseling for years, you know, just help and a lot of TLC from everyone around them. Having seen a thing like that as an adult was upsetting enough, but... I just can't imagine what it did to those kids out there. And, you know, I feel responsible. I mean, I brought him to the station and everything. I thought it would cheer him up being here for Radiothon. But, you know, the emotional atmosphere here was just too much. Just tipped the balance for him, you know, so to speak.
It does happen sometimes.
Yeah.
And I suppose we have to be prepared for that kind of a thing. What better way to go through a situation like this and to be with the people you're closest to? And I'm just glad that you folks are here now. In fact, I feel a hug coming on.
Oh, I feel better already,
felt
Eric.
Good,
thank
yes.
you.
Oh, does that mean we can stop this music now?
Yeah, let's stop the music. Okay, good. Mike, it's almost the end of our show, so we've got a lot of things we got to continue to do.
Are we back to normal now?
Let's get those phone calls ringing.
We need
let's
from
get
you.
The phones ringing with
we
phone
need to
calls.
Hear you now at 516-632-6901.
All right. Well, the one thing Mike Juhas got wrong there was the area code, because the area code changed since that radio program. It's actually, if people are trying to call in right now, it's 631-632-6901 to play, because we're still trying to raise money. We're on the same fundraiser that we were on in 1990, you know. We never made our goal.
Things have not changed.
No, we're back with another fundraiser. And, you know, the T-shirt prices haven't gone up that much, so it's really pretty cool. But yeah, what memories that brings back of the infamous watermelon incident, and how Jerry just had such a great sense of humor and drama and things like that, and epitomized what she was all about, what the radio station is all about.
Right.
And please be a part of that. I know we spent the entire hour talking about our memories, but that's what it's all about, really. It's what makes this place magical. And your support helps make this place possible. So please give a call to 631-632-6901. Pledge whatever you can afford. We have different levels. We have $50 for T-shirts. We have $35 for the glass mugs. We've got a $75 pledge for sweatshirts, all with USB insignias. We've got baseball caps. We've got CDs of all sorts. If you call now, 631-632-6901, one of us will help guide you to CDs that you might like.
Absolutely.
Amongst all sorts of other things.
Telephone volunteers are standing by, as we always are, for your pledge of support.
Well, actually, we're all sitting here right now, but we'll start running into the other room as soon as the phones ring. And
I'll run over you to see the who.
Well, yeah, we might have to do that. Okay, I'm out of here. It was... a sad show, but I think something that we needed to do.
Yeah, it also felt good to talk about it all, and hopefully the listeners who know and love Jerry just over the radio, or they've seen her places, and you know, like if they're like me, you know, or like us, you know, you feel like you know her just hearing her on the radio. You really did know her, and because that's who she was. And yeah, we're gonna miss her terribly, but she has really left something here that you know, can't be erased.
Absolutely, absolutely. Those memories will be here forever, and her influence will shape this place for decades to come. I'd like to go out with a unique bit of Celtic music, and I think this is somebody she probably liked, Ashley McIsaac. up in Nova Scotia, from his album Helter Celtic. And
Cape Breton.
Yeah, there absolutely. I've been there a couple of times. Yeah. B-flat Clogs, what we're going out with here. And this is dedicated to Jerry and to all she's brought to us. And once again, our phone number is 631-632-6901. We'd sure love to hear from you tonight. Stay tuned for Finn coming up later. Good night.